Alara once was whole, but long ago the sundering shattered the plane into 5 shards that drifted just beyond each other's reach. As the shards migrated, they slowly took on new shape, new life, new order. Mana ley lines were severed, denying each shard access to 2 colors of mana, which allowed those remaining to surge unfettered. One such shard lost its connection to black mana. Pestilence subsided, greed and ambition faded from memory, the indefatigable march of death abated. The tethers of red mana were likewise cut as the shard floated in isolation. Fiery aggression cooled, individualism tempered, creativity, passion, and anarchy dissolved. In this environment, order dominated. Honor and duty became integral and were supplemented by intelligent adherence to law. In this world, life reigned supreme. No longer encumbered by plague or disease, the land became one of idyllic abundance, its inhabitants free from life-shortening maladies. Here, there is structure to all things. Here, thanks is given to the nourishing land. Here, knightly warriors patrol manicured highways and benevolent angels observe their flock from on high. This is the Shard of Bant. Bant's a shard of chivalric conduct and knightly honor. It's a realm that champions safety, duty, and strict adherence to moral codes for the betterment of society. Sunbathed plains, well-maintained groves and foaming seas, all crisscrossed by roadways and dotted with domineering castles or glistening cities, are common sights across Bant and instill a sense of peaceful contemplation. We see this illustrated to perfection in the Art of Bant's Plane Chase card, and hear it in the flavor text of Bant Charm, which reads, Bant is a world where death and chaos hold no sway. While that of Bant Panorama gives us insight into the lives of its denizens and reads, Bant's hearts are as pure as its air and as bright as its skies. Bant is primarily aligned with the color of white mana, and as such embraces many of its values. Community and selflessness are foundational pillars of society, where individual deeds are lauded, but individualism and selfishness are ostracized. Life is cherished, and many of Bant's denizens tap into the healing arts to further extend it. Order is the rock atop which all of the shard is structured. Its influence is ingrained by the caste system that rules socio-political interactions. White mana is supported in its rigid shape by blue mana ideals. The merging of these colors has given rise to communities of monks, scholars, and lawyers that meticulously craft legal doctrine in ink-stained vellum that is later codified into governing law. They busy themselves with determining how best to shape a perfect society of honor. Blue bestows foresight and intelligence, allowing Bant's cultures to develop complex civilizations fueled by advanced technologies. Blue mana's cold detachment is offset by the nourishing embrace of green mana. It supports white's inclination towards life, harmony, and unity. Aristocracy rule landed estates where countless crop fields are cultivated and tilled to support Bant's populations. Fruit orchards, sylvan groves, and golden fields of wheat cover large vistas and generate an aura of idyllic existence characteristic of the shard. This merging of colors coalesces in subconscious cultural ideals of honor and virtue, which are manifested in Bant's hallmark ability called Exalted. Those who pursue valor and distinction in battle are bolstered by those around them, armed and armored by their squires, and granted boons by angels above, highlighted in the exalted ability to buff a creature that enters rigorous single combat. We see this in cards like Ardent Plea and Aven Squire. Bant is just as easily defined by what it lacks. Without the shadow of death black mana represents, the denizens of Bant are free to enjoy all of life's stunning splendor, and many wizards or angels possess resurrective abilities to cast off the yoke of death indefinitely. Likewise, decay and rot are scant throughout the countryside. Stained hearts, those possessed by greed or personal ambition, are few but zealously persecuted. There's little room for devious machination in this structured world. The raw emotion and aggressive urges of red mana have equally been snuffed. Bant is ruled not by emotion, but by reason. Anarchy, chaos, burning ingenuity are tempered through doctrine and instillment of communal codes. This engenders a sense of peace, of equality, of mutual prosperity across the shard. A veneer of shining armor and dauntless protection coats the world, but those blinded by appearances fail to recognize a society of oppression, weighed down by statutes and laws that suppress any form of individualism or contrary thought. It, like stone, is cold, rigid, and unmoving, a sentiment offered in the flavor text of Ignite Disorder. The shaman prowled the academy halls, shaking his head at the pomp and babble of the sages inside. He knew just the spell to liven the place up. Bant is a shard bound by duty, adherent to moral codes. To fully appreciate it, one must consult the unbending caste system that dominates society and organizes it from the lowliest serf to the sublime angel. An individual is fated to a particular caste at birth, but through perilous undertaking of noble distinguishable acts and the accumulation of prized medals known as sigils, one can break from their caste and rise through elite ranks. Sigils are possessed of powerful magic and bestowed onto the worthy by Bant's angelic host. They represent values of courage, sacrifice, honor, dauntlessness, and are on display in cards like Mark of Asylum and Sigil of the New Dawn, whose flavor text states, "The sigil represents an honor that endures beyond death." But these accolades of achievement are weighed with responsibility, which we see illustrated in Call to Heal, as a bearer is magically summoned against their will, the flavor text of which reads, "On Bant, a sigil is both a prize of honor and a bond of duty. The one who bears it may be called to fulfill that charge at any moment." The largest by number of Bant's castes makes up the lowest rung and foundation upon which their nations can flourish. Peasants, serfs, artisans, craftsmen, squires, laity of all forms constitute the mortar caste, aptly named for these toiling peoples labor ceaselessly for the betterment of society. They act as the mortar that binds the brick of their ordered society, and as the name implies, are extremely hardy. The flavor text of a cross and squire suggests that the mortar caste fill the ranks of Bant's large standing armies, eager to earn renown and sigils. It reads, "Bant's armies are primarily composed of members of the mortar caste, loyal commoners who haven't yet earned a sigil. These individuals are selfless and accept their laborious roles without spite. Individuals of the mortar caste take pride in their purpose and supply the nations of Bant with all manner of goods and services beyond mere manpower. They are indispensable, which we hear in the flavor text of Knight Captain of Eos. The strength of Bant's caste system is the unfailing loyalty of its meekest members." Those who have gathered accolades through heroism and duty are elevated to the sigiled caste. Here is where the bulk of Bant's warrior elite are ceremoniously invested as knights. Trained in the martial arts of swordplay, jousting, and mounted combat on horse-sized cats called Leotau, the sigiled caste are the sword and shield of society. Lauded as chivalric heroes and possessed of self-indulgent chauvinism, knights travel the realm to protect the meek, seek glory, and resolve disputes amongst another in melee combat. Their deadly gallantry on display in the illustration of cards such as Knight of the White Orchid and Knight of the Skyward Eye. The number and significance of sigils acquired determines hierarchy within the caste, as knights incessantly compare their deeds with another. Some sigils offer boons of protective magic to the wearer, which we see in the illustration of Mirror Sigil Sergeant, whose magic creates ethereal copies of its bearer. The knights of the sigiled caste are augmented by the healers, priests, and mages of the sighted caste. Clerics tend wounded, call forth revitalizing magic, and perform incantations to stir martial passion. Monks and ministers travel the open fields of Bant, offering wisdom and respite for the soul and shepherding the misguided. The sighted are prolific in their command of magic to bolster unity and to divine far-seeing prognostications. Cards like Frontline Sage and Bant Battlemage highlight the strategic significance of sighted wizards to craft skillful tactical plans, while cards like Rocks Meditant and Topan Ascetic demonstrate the preaching and religious zeal assumed by many members of this caste. Above the sighted sit the elite members of the Blessed class, so named due to their role as mortal intermediaries with Bant's angelic host. The Blessed are the nobles of the realm, landed aristocrats, retired or aged knights, governors, princes, castellans, and other government officials that direct the drive towards peaceful progress across the Shard's communities. They number the fewest and are most likely to achieve such vaulted position through blood rather than deed. Many of Bant's laity mumble indignations at their exclusive positions. Sitting above all on Bant and looking down with protective benevolence are the winged host of Bant's angels. Angels embody life, selflessness, duty, and honor. They occupy the center of Bant's religion and culture as the masses draw from angelic inspiration to perform gallant deeds and harness the willpower to endure through tribulations. As mentioned, angels confer sigils onto the worthy and protect the righteous, but otherwise remain free from public interaction, shrouding themselves in inscrutable myth. Their words pass down through blessed intermediaries. So great is their reverence towards the angels that Bantians pursue angelic reincarnation, which we hear in the flavor text of Invincible Hymn. Bantians believe those who are born into the highest caste and live a life of discipline and virtue can ascend to become angels. The angels have within their ranks their own caste system. At the top sit the Asura, seven of the most senior angels whose guidance forms the court of orderly contemplation. Jannara the Asura of War is its only known member. Below are the Amisha, who are physical manifestations of intangible ideas. They represent altruism, honor, sacrifice, and channel their magic to cast sigils imbued with power bestowed upon the worthy, as seen in Blessing of the Amisha. Little is known of the Mahra, who act as orderlies and assist the Asura and Amisha by enacting proclamations. Finally, there are the celebrants. These make up the lowliest of angels, yet they are the most visible in the mortal world. They're responsible for answering prayers, protecting their flock, and dispensing righteous judgment on unbelievers. They're battle-hardened and fierce, which we see in cards like Battle Grace Angel and Angelic Benediction, leading from the fore and marshaling Bant's formidable armies. Just as the Shard is divided into hierarchy, so too is it split in geography. Five nations lay claim to various regions of the landscape, and although foundational beliefs unite cultures, varying degrees of nationalism and self-righteousness spark conflicts between them as border zones are hotly contested. Bant's interior swath of rolling hills and golden grasslands is populated by three independent states. Known as the Inner Three, these are the nations of Akrasa, Eos, and Topa. Lustrous palisades and tall watchtowers line the border of Akrasa City, whose stalwart defenders are adorned with heavy plate mail, as is illustrated in Guardians of Akrasa. The flavor text of Kiss of the Amisha highlights the significance of jousting tournaments where knights from across the realm converge in this great nation. The fields of Eos are patrolled by renowned rangers attuned with nature to better survey the landscape. Adept falconers, they dispatch birds of prey on scouting missions, while they themselves trek miles of open plain atop fleet-footed Leotaus. We see this skill on display in Ranger Captain of Eos and Ranger of Eos, whose flavor text reads, "At his side, humble beasts become weapons more deadly than sharpened steel." Desolate scrubland extends in all directions across the Topa region. Its isolation marks it as a favorite banishment site for exiles and malcontents, as given to us in the text of Excommunicate. Our law prohibits capital punishment. We believe even the greatest offenders have the chance to redeem themselves. While the illustration of Topan ascetic evokes the sense of lonely wandering common in the endless grasses. Steep cliffs, battered by salty winds and crashing waves, mark the territory of the Valeron coastline. This proud nation is ruled by 12 noble families whose seat of power rests in the tranquil grove of the sun-dappled court. Knight stewards in golden armor and keen-eyed archers guard the court from attack, while leaders deliberate, seen in cards like Court Archers and Steward of Valeron. This coastal province is engaged in interminable conflict with the island nation of Jess across the waves. Valeron constantly pressures subjugation, but is often thwarted by Jessian subterfuge. This island nation is proud and independent, a haven for exiles, rogues, and other disaffected parties wishing to escape oppression from the other nations. Jess employs several spies and assassins to secure its borders, seen in cards like Jessian Thief and Lookout. While the flavor text of Outrider of Jess regales us on its protracted rivalry with Valeron and reads, "The island nation of Jess is under constant siege from Valeron on the mainland. Riders traverse the coastline, always on the lookout for sails or Aven." Despite its impressed orthodoxy, Bant sports a diverse range of creatures and races. Humans are by far the most numerous and engage at all levels of caste society, from diligent serfs to sigiled knights to sighted wizards. Aven take to cloudless skies as squires, warriors, and messengers who transport important missives between Bant elites. They value their status as those closest to the angels and often seek their blessing. The rhino folk called rocks are unique to the Shard of Bant. They embody obstinate conviction, steadfast loyalty, and brute strength harmoniously married in a form of dangerous grace. They're often employed as monks and healers, as seen in Rock's Meditant and Rock's Warmonk, whose flavor text grants insight into their disposition. Rock's monks are dedicated to spiritual growth and learning, and most bear the sigils of many students. However, they do not gladly suffer fools or those who disagree with their carefully wrought dogma. There are also formidable warriors who dauntlessly charge into the frenzy of battle, illustrated in Rock's Bodyguard, whose flavor text states, "An enlightened soul, caged in a body made for battle." With the coming of the Conflux, Bant finds itself assaulted by foreign shards bearing dangerous and unknown surges of red and black mana. Chaos, individuality, and aggression threaten to shatter the cold sanctity of Bant society as those who embrace red mana question the foundational caste system thrust upon them. We see this illustrated in cards like Rock's Brute and Glory of Warfare. Death, ambition, and greed likewise are brought to Bant's shores in the form of black mana. Initially, new ideas, new emotions, and new magic strike an imbalance at Bant's structures as individuals convert to new perspectives, as seen in the Ethercast Knight and Knotvine Paladin. But external threats unite the nations of Bant, who stand resolute and undaunted in the face of new foes. This is illustrated in The Art of Martial Coup, which sees knights sally forth to face Naya's behemoths and reads, "Their war forgotten. The nations of Bant stood united in the face of a common threat." The sigiled warriors and angels of Bant must vehemently oppose the zombie hordes of Grixis and the draconic beasts of Jund, for they represent both red and black mana. Such creatures and ideas are fervently persecuted with utmost derision. Bant, a noble and idyllic realm where the knightly virtues of honor, duty, and sacrifice are pursued by the enlightened hearts that dwell within. Where country estates and verdant groves foster growth. Where wisdom and doctrine bestow regulated purpose. Where armored heroes defend the meek and angels cast resplendent light. It's a land much to be admired, but one burdened by strictures, shackled to antiquated systems, and suppressive of nonconformity. With the Conflux, Bant's idol is shattered, and it must reflect on its most fundamental suppositions on life, leadership, and community. A realm as stringent as it might not adapt to chains or adversity marked with a Conflux. Its knights may fall to death, ambition, and fury, but they and their hosts may stand defiant and seek new realms to conquer in the name of a united Bant. Thanks so much for watching and listening to The Shard of Bant Explained, and stay tuned for future episodes in which we'll explore the remaining shards of Alara. Now I want to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts on Bant's knights and angels. Which nation is your favorite? As well as suggestions for future videos in the comments below. And if you're a fan of lore and storytelling, be sure to subscribe to the channel, check out the podcast or the blog, where content's uploaded frequently. Again, a huge shout out to all of my supporters over on Patreon. Your patronage means the world to me and helps the channel grow and improve. If you're interested in becoming a lore luminary for access to me, a great community, written scripts, and early video drops, check out patreon.com/thelorebrarians to learn more. Until next time, go forth and explore the lore.